Welcome to the podcast for Agree to Disagree, broadcast as a part of Uproot, a public affairs program on KSPC 88.7 in Claremont, California.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to KSPC's Uproot. This is Agree to Disagree. It's our opportunity to talk politics 9 days away from Election Day, a big day.
What an election it will be.
Yeah, I Isaac Kastema, am proud to be joined, as always, by Mr. Jake Petzold.
Evening.
Yes, a good evening it is. So we thought we'd start off the night by a little gambling, a little poker playing, roulette, whatever you're fancy, talking about predictions for how this November 2nd election is going to turn out. Jake, would you mind starting us off with some real, just give us something real provocative that we can discuss in terms of predictions here?
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Republicans are going to win the House of Representatives.
Oh, my. Wow.
Earth-shattering. Well, for me, it is. I was in denial about this one for a long, long time. But yeah, unfortunately, I think January 4th will bring us Speaker John Boehner. Oh. I'm sorry. I just have that reaction.
It's really just amazing for me to hear you admit this. I think...
I will. You do have to allow me to make the incredibly obvious joke, though, about how exciting it is, though, to have a person of color ascend to the speakership.
Yes, for the first time. Although orange is...
I don't know where orange falls.
Well, I'm glad we can joke about this. I think there's a time when this fear that John Boehner could assume that seat gave you nightmares.
Yeah, that said, I think he's going to do such a horrible job at it that I'm sort of okay with it.
So are we sure, though, it's John Boehner? That's the other big question.
I think it will be. I think it will be John Boehner. But I do think he's going to have a concern, you know, not really from, from the young flank, not really from the right or from the left in his caucus, or I'm sorry, the Republican conference, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a concern from, you know, the young guns, as they call themselves. I think Paul Ryan will actually be more of an ally than an adversary as chair of the budget committee. But I think Eric Cantor, who will probably be House Majority Leader, and Kevin McCarthy, who will probably be House Majority Whip, are going to have their own power bases in the conference. And I think that's... More so than, I think they will have more their own power bases within the conference, more than anyone has in recent history, probably since, you know, the post, you know, more than they will divide leadership more than leadership, congressional leadership's been divided really in the post sort of, you know, political redistribution that followed the civil rights movement in the 70s and all that.
Oh, really getting into it now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I'm, you know, reaching back.
Well, interesting you mentioned Paul Ryan, and I think he is a very interesting person to watch. He is not really a Tea Partier.
Actually, he's really probably more interesting to listen to. He's a little bit goofy looking, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's a little goofy looking. But he is somebody who has taken the time to come up with some policy ideas really centered around the ideology that the Tea Party seems to support. And although... he wasn't out there campaigning for a whole lot of people. They frequently talked about him in Tea Party circles as somebody who's, they said, well, what's your idea for Social Security? What's your idea for education reform? What's your idea for balancing the budget? And they pointed to Paul Ryan. And him, he has that likelihood of really just assuming an interesting position where he can bring Tea Partiers ideologically, if he's able to, at least that his policy formations are very important to them. And his ability to communicate with leadership is also very important. So when we talk about a cohesive caucus, which is, I think, a big concern when you have all these new people elected, that he's an important player.
Yeah, he is, but I think it will be interesting. I mean, push will come to shove, and he's going to unveil a budget that a lot of people are going to be expecting. You know, big, big things from Paul Ryan and from the Republicans in the House, and I think they're going to have to – they will have no choice but to unveil a real budget, not anything from the Pledge to America. I mean, not anything – I mean, this is going to be a real thing that funds the government, and they are not going to be able to make the cuts that they want to make and, you know, in spending and in taxes at the same time. And, you know, things are going to shake out, and there are going to be a lot of people on whatever side. I can guarantee you a lot of people are going to be really pissed off after that budget comes out. Excuse the language.
Yeah. I agree. I think the House is going to go red, and the question I think is of how much, and this is when we get into the numbers game. Are we losing, are the Republicans going to gain 50 seats?
Did you just inadvertently say we lose as a you know, talking about the Democrats? Oh my. Wow, my word.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I did.
I think they'll probably have a I think their majority could be as little as 3 or 4 to probably maybe 15. I don't think. I mean,
wow, that's pretty low levels there.
I'm sorry?
That's pretty low numbers.
Yeah. I don't think
so. They'll lose it, but I guess
Bill Kristol came to the Athenaeum at CMC a couple weeks ago and said that he thought Republicans were going to win at least 70 seats, and that's not going to happen. I hate to break it to you, pal. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, the Senate is probably the other is a very interesting place to look right now. That's, you know, the numbers are really going to matter.
Sorry, yeah. What do you think about House numbers?
What do I think about House numbers? I think we're going to have upwards of somewhere around 50 seats. I think it's going to really flip, and it's going to flip hard. When I'm looking at the data for even my own district, Washington's 9th has Adam Smith, who's been there since mid-90s. I know the challenger, Dick Murray. I'm shocked he is neck and neck. And although the polling isn't as sophisticated in that district as it is elsewhere, I think when you look at polling seats that that people thought were safe are no longer safe, and that's all across the country. And the spending advantage in these last couple days is really going to push a lot of these Republican seats over.
Yeah, both direct spending and from the 527s and this sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, just spending across the board.
Yeah, I've got to say, you know, the Senate Republicans who voted to confirm Roberts and Alito got to be feeling pretty good about themselves just about now.
I mean, my little Republican circles that I frequent, they're all gearing up for just a knockout. They're going to be disappointed if there's not 100 seats that the Republicans take.
You know, and I think that's one of the ways that Democrats are sort of, you know, in the last few days kind of benefit is that I don't think the wins will be as the margins will be as big as everyone's fearing. But
yeah.
There are margins. Democrats are going to get their butts kicked this year. I said it.
Yeah. Wow.
Democrats are getting their butts kicked this year.
I'm shocked that you would, but I'm so happy. To hear that. No. shall we move to the Senate?
Yeah, let's do. Please do. I think, yeah, Democrats will hold on to the Senate. The numbers just aren't there for Republicans. I think Republicans will probably pick up 6 or so. I think they'll probably win in Pennsylvania. That's an example of a race that I think Pennsylvania is an interesting one, actually, because it's a blue state. I mean, it's basically...
This is with Republican Toomey and Joe Sestak, who beat... Our inspector in the
after
primary.
His party flip. Yeah. You know, Pennsylvania is basically a blue state, and they're ready for a change, and I think they're going to elect a Republican senator, in addition to a Republican governor, to follow Ed Rendell, who's actually someone to watch to see what he does in the next few years. But
yeah.
I think Toomey is really interesting because he is just way too, I mean, not too, but so far right for that state. I mean, that's, I think, why the numbers are closing right now a little bit. I think he'll win. But, you know, I think their last few days, people are starting to say, hey, like, we need to take this guy a little more seriously because he is going to be our next senator. And I think he's being forced to moderate a little bit.
He's distanced himself from Christine O'Donnell in the Delaware primary. He's been trying to, in a year that it's very hard to stake out a position as a moderate, as a Republican. I think he's probably done one of the better jobs of doing that.
Ironically enough, I mean, no one would have said that before, you know, before the primary, and
yeah,
and I don't think anyone was expecting that he needed to do that until maybe 6 weeks ago.
And he is. He's definitely, I guess, moderating. You know, so I think that's right.
And I think that's something that will last. I mean, 6 years is a long term, but I think these last 3 weeks of him needing to do that. I know it's 9 days down now, but this has been happening for a while. It's been actually probably about a month or so, 5 weeks or so. That he's been, you know, sort of forced in this direction. I think they will stick with him. I think they will drive him somewhat to the middle, at least for the first 2 years of his term, you know, before the 2012 shakeout. But, you know, I think Pennsylvania, I think California will, I think Boxer's safe. I think in the end, Harry Reid will be safe. I have a hard time imagining all those people.
Yeah.
I think Harry Reid will be saved by the none of the above option on
the
Nevada ballot. I think West Virginia, Joe Manchin will pull it out there. I think Delaware, we love to talk about it. We do, and so do, you know, so does CNN and Fox and MSN, everywhere. Everyone loves to talk about it. Christine O'Donnell is just too much fun, but
there seems
not
to,
really. That's not the news. Delaware's not the news to me.
When I look at this race, the races, I think of this idea of media momentum, and that is that there's this momentum behind candidates that I don't think is carried out in the facts. And there's polling techniques that can encourage momentum. For instance, when you poll Nevada and you don't include the third-party candidate, or you don't have the none above option, you can make races look very close. And I think that we are very attracted to the idea that someone like Christine O'Donnell could even win. That's just that's a very provocative thought, and it excites people on both ends of the spectrum. It excites those who hate her, and it excites those who hate the establishment.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're excited by the, I mean, we're entertained by the notion that she could even win a primary, but then again, we forget, she's done it before.
She has.
You know, and that, she's run statewide twice already. I mean, maybe three times?
Several times.
But this year, it's a different race for some reason, or it's being treated as such, but it isn't. It's just, she's not going to win this race.
Yeah, and it's at this point, I think it's working both sides of the aisle. I think in California, the media is still giving Meg Whitman a lot of attention. This is in a governor's race. Is giving Meg Whitman a lot of attention because she simply spent so much of her personal fortune.
Yeah.
But polling is not
good for her. We need the money spent in California.
Yeah.
Thank you, Meg.
No, I mean it's great, but the polling doesn't show that that's going to be go her way. But if you pay attention to media narrative, they're just neck and neck.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of races where it's hard to really boil down to it. I think. One of those races for me is Washington State Senate race.
Yeah.
Patty Murray, Dino Rossi. I'm a Washington State citizen.
And voter.
The thing with that is it's...
Did you vote yet, by the way?
I haven't voted yet. Right. My ballot needs to arrive at Claremont, California. Please help me out, Sam Reed, our Secretary of State. Get my ballot here on time. And that's a race where I think that... A lot of the political insiders are still hoping that Rossi is going to pull this off. They're just hoping on it. They're still throwing money at it. But I think that...
That's another one Crystal at the Ath said confidently. Dino Rossi is going to win this one.
Yeah, and I guess, I'm a fan of Dino, but I just don't think he's... I really question if that's going to happen. And I think that right now it's very hard to take the media narrative and, you know, separate that from the actual facts on the ground and what's going to happen. So it's very hard, I think, to determine what's going to happen. But I do think that... It is not, the Senate is not going to be a Democratic bloodbath. It'll be much more balanced. There'll be Democratic wins. There'll be Republican wins.
You know, I think actually in the Senate, we'll see things shake out in a way that probably almost, you know, there are going to be some issues that a closely divided Senate is going to, you know, help Democrats out on. I think education reform is one. I think probably immigration reform is one. Well, we'll see. I mean, actually, that sort of brings me to one of my big questions about what the Senate is going to look like in the 112th Congress of the United States is these Tea Party and just sort of other, I mean, you know, it's this agree to disagree. I don't need to pretend to be neutral. I think Republicans are going to send some crazies to the United States Senate, and I'm wondering how they're going to fit in. I mean, I'm wondering where is Ken Buck and how are Ken Buck and Rand Paul going to fit in the clubby nature of the U.S. Senate? And, you know, one of the things that people always say, you know, have been saying is these are campaigns and people always, you know, find themselves in the, you know, in the rooms, in the hallways. They like their members' lapel pins. They like having the staff. They like, you know, riding the member subway. And they find a way to join the club. And it's, yeah, but this is a different year. And I think the candidates are different. I think the scene is different. And I think these will be different senators. And I'm really curious. I don't have any answers. I'm curious to see what this looks like.
Well, this is my thought. They may not be the some of the people that may win are not shining stars, but they are all very skilled politicians, and I don't think they get the credit that they deserve for being skilled. What Christine O'Donnell is doing, given where she came from, is pretty phenomenal. So she might not have polish or be too of the establishment type. Or even have the brightest of ideas, but she doesn't lack political skill.
Okay, well, she's not really a relevant example, though.
No, but I guess it's Rand Paul. These people have political skill, and
Rand Paul has skill. He's got a good last name.
When it comes luck, to actually a being year, a senator, yes, a big portion of it is being an incredibly intelligent policy wonk. That's an important thing to have in the U.S. Senate. However, I think that personality can be just as important. And where these people will line up politically in these big debates when they're forced to address them, I think you could have very interesting coalitions emerge. That these people won't just be isolation chambers off in a corner screaming crazy things. These are going to be people that are going to use that.
Some of the time.
Maybe, but they're going to be people that use their political skill. Yeah. And they're gonna use it in a different way. They're not gonna be beholden to the same set of interests. You're gonna have a group of people that I think are gonna owe their seats to so many different players, whether it's different potential presidential candidates, different factions within the party. Maybe they don't owe anything to the party. Maybe they ran in opposition, or they ran with the total support. You're gonna have these real fractured. A real fractured caucus when it comes to who's in charge, because so many people will have played an important role in getting these people elected, and I don't know who. There's one person that will emerge as, you know, the individual who they all owe their political success to, and I think that's going to be very different. That's going to change culture, and I think it is too early to say that that's going to be bad. I think it's too early to say these people won't work with the administration. I think we are going to have a lot of surprises.
Well, not then there wouldn't be surprises, would they?
Wouldn't they? Yeah.
You know, but actually, you raise an interesting sort of an interesting question, which I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but might be the time to talk about it. I think
go right ahead.
There are going to be clear winners and losers out of this election. I think much on a clear individual winners and losers, much more so than much more evident than it is today. I think Kevin McCarthy in the House is going to have a lot of people, you know, in his pocket. And I think, obviously, Haley Barbour is going to... I mean, there are going to be a dozen or so, probably more, new Republican governors who are going to owe a whole heck of a lot to Haley Barbour. If he runs for president in 2012, he's got, you know, he's going to have some chits to cash in.
Yeah, he really will.
I know you're a Barbour fan.
I'm a Barbour fan.
I'm serving this up for you.
Former lobbyist, bubbly, down-home political type.
Cigar smoking, scotch drinking.
He is the old guy
in the smoky room.
That
and
idyllic,
he's unabashed about it.
Old school Republican politician that we love from the movies.
I think he's an old school politician in every way. I mean, I think he's unabashedly a former party chair, a former lobbyist. He likes wearing the nice. You know, he doesn't do a whole lot of pretending to be down home and living just like everyone else.
Yeah,
but it works because he is. You know, he does have the right roots.
But he's candid. Right. He's candid, and he's just refreshing. I know it sounds
absolutely
weird to have some. He's just from a different. He seems like he's from a different political era.
But he's made it work for him. I'm impressed.
But he really has, and so I think he's fun to watch. I don't know if he's going to run for president. I don't actually think he's probably going to ultimately have the. Oh, bless you. Is going to have the chops to that. But I think he's going to be an incredible force.
Oh, he will be. I get the sense he probably won't run, but he will be a big player.
He has raised. He is by far the best fundraiser that the Republicans have. He has raised. He's outraised Mitt.
I mean, Sharon Engel's doing real impressive in Nevada, that's a different
game. And what he's done at the National Governors Association, he's just raised, I think it was one quarter, he raised as much as they had raised the previous year.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And so he's now able to, in those governor's races, competitive governor's races, he's able to just blanket the airways with ads.
I'll tell you what, he should play the will he won't he game for 6 months.
Yeah.
Not that long, because things are going to get going, but for about the next 3-4 months. Someone should put him on their National Finance Committee. No, you know what? Someone should make him the chair of their campaign and come out with that at their announcement. You know, I'm running for president, and Haley Barbour's my campaign chair. That will go a long, long way.
Well, the one I really like is, who is Haley Barbour's best friend in politics?
I don't know that.
Mitch Daniels.
Really?
Governor.
Oh, I know you're a fan of his as well.
I'm a very big fan of Mitch. So, I love thinking about these things. It just, the little political butterfly.
I didn't know that one.
So there is, and they're going to be on a, right now, Haley Barbour's launching on a 13-state tour, going to all these governor places, and you can be joined by such notables as Mitch Daniels, Mitt Romney, Tim Pawlenty, and Bobby Jindal. So
Jindal's not running.
But the field, is just going to be wide open for this Republican nomination for president. And after this election, we're going to just start seeing, what are we up to now? We have almost a dozen potential candidates, and everyone is able to articulate some rationale for getting there, except Sarah Palin. But
I'm with you.
Everybody seems to have.
By the way, I don't think Palin's going to run. I don't think Huckabee's going to run. I don't think Barbour's going to run.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I think Sarah Palin will do to maintain her relevancy if she does not.
I think what she'll do is not announce until basically November 1st, 2012, that she's not running.
Yeah, but she's a young.
She won't say that she's not running.
She's a young woman. She's gonna be in politics. She's potentially been in politics for decades. I know that just terrifies.
I think she probably it doesn't terrify me all that much. I think she'll fizzle, and I also don't think that to that many people she's really all that credible. I think what she sees herself, or will come to see herself, I think the direction she will take is gonna be basically. I mean, we live in a world that is increasingly politically, factionalized and polarized, and I think she's sort of gonna be building herself up as like a conservative Oprah. I'm serious. I'm talking about media empire, books, television. I mean, she's on TV.
That's an interesting idea. Television shows.
I think she likes the lifestyle a lot. I think there are a lot of ways she stands to win from the speculation. I think a lot of ways her speculation stands to grow following what happens this fall. She's picked a number of winners, but in Republican circles and just sort of political circles, people are relatively unhappy with her performance this year on the. Sort of the execution, the nitty gritty stuff. She's been a little diva like. She's upset a lot of people, and I think people are gonna be skeptical about jumping on her bandwagon. And I think that just sort of indicates the broader problem, and I think a broader challenge that she's not willing to deal with. Because I think there are a lot of toes that she stepped on that she did not need to, and wasn't really doesn't care about. She doesn't want to play the game. And I think in a way that she just wouldn't have the patience to run again, and enjoys what she's got going, and. Taking things more seriously just doesn't seem to appeal to her. I think she'll sit on her, sit on the cash, nice little cash cow she's building, and good for her,
I saw the previews for her Discovery Channel show. Looks cool.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it looks cool. I'm gonna watch it. Sarah Palin's Alaska, and it's.
I'm intrigued.
It's the opening to the preview is she's. I assume she's climbing Denali, or it's she's on a glacier and she's just like, oh. Yeah, this mountain is really cool. Yeah, you betcha. That was a terrible impersonation. But yeah, she's climbing down with her husband Todd, and then it just shows him doing snowmobiles and having
snow machines.
Snow machines, and I'm like, cool. That's neat. So I don't particularly care for her as a politician, but as a media personality, heck, she's fun.
Yeah, I think there's a better deal for her. Bristol Palin on Dancing with the Stars. I think this is just a better deal. I think it's a better deal for her. Better deal for America.
Are you rooting for Bristol, by the way?
I just really don't give. I'm sorry.
I must. Admit that Politico has this section called Click,
right?
Which is like the gossip thing, and so they always have Brista Palin's dances on there, and I have watched most of them. I do admit to that, including the one where she was in a gorilla costume. I remember the dance number, but it was pretty exceptional. So it was terrible. She was in the bottom of the pack. But the voters came out, and I hear she's still in. So for those Bristol fans out there.
That's good. Someone told me last night, actually, that apparently Mike the Situation lives like around the corner from me in Los Angeles.
Really. Where did that come out of? Oh, no,
he's on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
the Situation.
Yeah, I think they.
From the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, from the Jersey Shore.
Right, yeah.
I'd rather him be around the corner from the place like on the Jersey Shore, but. All right. Sorry, we're being told that we need to get back on the
politics.
Okay.
Let's continue this pop culture streak we're on right now.
Political
pop culture streak, and talk about the rally to restore sanity and or fear.
Yeah,
I just thought I'd put that little thing in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm on the side of sanity. What about you?
I am a big supporter of fear.
Actually, just to get serious for a second, it's interesting, though, I think, on the stump that Democrats are turning to fear in some sense. They're talking about all the things. They are. I mean, not in the same, not in the same ways that Republicans have, of course. Not nearly as evilly.
Oh, really?
But, they're talking a lot about, look, all these things that are going to, you're going to lose all of these benefits. They're going to cut Medicare. They're going to cut Medicaid. They're going to privatize Social Security.
Foreign money.
Yeah, they're going to raise the retirement age. They're going to, foreign money. Democrats are playing a lot of fear games right now. And I'd be upset if I didn't think they were true.
that's right. It's only fear when the Republicans do it. Right?
Yeah. But there are no like Hungry Wolves commercials.
Well, this
right
rally,
now.
A bipartisan rally, I think.
I think nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
Actually.
That's right. Nonpartisan rally, right. Supported by big names, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert of The Daily Show and Colbert Report fame, Comedy Central, weeknights, Monday through Thursday.
11:30.
Wow. They will be holding a rally.
Really, Viacom did not pay us for that.
They did not. They'll be holding a rally at the National Mall, and estimates are in just thousands of people are projected to come to this thing. It's going to be big, and they're also going to have satellite events all around the country.
Yeah, I think there's the room in MacArthur Park in L.A.
Is that where it is? There's a big one in Houston, too. They're going to be just thousands of people there. We should do one here in Claremont. And the basic idea here is these are two media personalities. Jon Stewart is a longtime critic of the way the media has covered politics. And he's famous for going, you know, toe-to-toe with Bill O'Reilly or calling out people like Glenn Beck, going on long time ago that show with Tucker Carlson.
Crossfire.
And chewing him out and saying what they were doing is bad for the country. So this is something that he's had in him for a long time.
Yep.
And Colbert, of course, has been a part of that, not the same type of advocate that he's been, more effective in making fun of the way the media covers politics. Yeah. So they're holding this big rally in Washington, D.C., to kind of get people out there to talk about, hey, let's get rid of the crazy stuff. Let's get down to brass tacks. And I hope that he does call out Democrats' attempts to instill fear into this race, as well as criticize Tea Partiers and over-the-top Republicans who do say negative things. I think
we can count on him saying, calling out a lot of people.
Yeah. So I think as you're gearing up for the final days of this election, that's something to look forward to and watch. Please vote, regardless of your party. This is an important election year. The outcome, I think, can just change a whole lot.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a great year. It's a great year to be watching politics, studying politics, talking about politics, or listening to us talk about politics. All right, 2 minutes left. Political Halloween costume ideas, go.
I'm thinking Sarah Palin is a great one for the
that's
ladies.
Never been done before.
You get the glasses and you get just put your hair up and a pencil in your hair. That's great. Barack Obama masks are available for the low price of $6.99 at Spirit Halloween stores. You should look out for those.
Oh, yeah. Obviously Christine O'Donnell put on a business suit and a witch hat. Some sort of Christine O'Donnell for
I'm
Senate.
A witch. I like funny. That.
She finally came out and said that was a stupid ad. And she was like, welcome to the party. We knew that. No kidding, homie.
All right. Well.
And then one more. Aqua Buddha, I hear, is making the rounds.
Aqua Buddha?
Yeah, that's the one. Rand Paul, when he went to Baylor or whatever before he got kicked out or dropped out, whatever it was, they kidnapped someone and took her to some river and made her smoke and then pray to Aqua Buddha.
Everyone, please go to your computers and open Google and find out more about that wonderful thing. Because we are done here at Agree to Disagree. We thank you all for listening. Jake, a pleasure as always.
Captain Ike.
We look forward to Election Day. I hope you do,
14,
too.
So 9 days to the election, 14 days till we're back. I'm excited.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Agree to Disagree Podcast Edition, a part of Uproot, a public affairs program. Come back on November 7th for the next segment.